Good morning, everyone. Turn back to Daniel chapter 7. As we begin looking at Daniel chapter 7 to 12, we see an amazing insight that Daniel is given regarding what's to come in the coming centuries. Some will note as we look at these chapters that has been fulfilled in the days of Medo-Persia and the Greeks and first century Rome, but there's others referring to events in the future. We're going to try to sort out some of these things in these weeks. We'll take a little break as we approach Christmas to give some Christmas messages, but trust we'll finish up by Daniel 12 by, let's say, mid-January. But it's interesting as we look at it all, history is His story. It's God's story. God's on the throne. God rules. And though Daniel sees in chapter 7 four beasts coming out of the earth, which were representative of four nations, we think most commentators believe that as he sees these visions of the lion, verse 4 of Daniel 7, and then a bear, verse 5, a leopard, verse 6, and then a terrifying, frightful beast, the fourth beast with 10 horns. The basic parallel is with Daniel chapter 2, where Daniel sees this, according to Nebuchadnezzar's dream, a great image with a head of gold, chest of silver, and so on. But we see them in Daniel 7, these kingdoms, for what they are, grotesque beasts, evil kingdoms of one following the other, Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece and Rome. But we note from the fourth beast that there's references to the future as well, the climactic times of the end times. So we see not just first century Rome in this fourth beast, but something that's yet future. But just to review the main idea of Daniel chapter 7 from last week, Daniel sees a throne, and he sees thrones set in place, verse 9, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. We see a picture of God the Father on the throne. His clothing is white as snow. His hair is white as snow. His throne was flaming with fire. Its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. His court was seated and the books were open. We see high and lifted up God the Father. And then we see the Son of Man coming with the clouds. Daniel says, verse 13, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. The high priest in Jesus' trial said, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? Mark chapter 14. Jesus said, I am, and you will see the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And Jesus affirms before the high priest the night of his trial, before he went to the cross, that this is referring to him, Daniel chapter 7. I read with great interest this past week Nabil Qureshi's book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. He writes it from his most of the book from his perspective as a fervent, devout Muslim who denied the fact that Jesus was God and that the Bible was true because it had been corrupted, that the Muslims say, and so on. But how he came to look at the issues and research it. And this was one of the most powerful verses that began to speak to him. He'd always been taught that Jesus was just a prophet, and even this phrase, Son of Man, just referred to Jesus as a human and not God. But then this verse of Daniel chapter 7, 13, among other verses in Scripture, really spoke to his heart that it's referring to the deity of the eternal Son of God. And so let's just look at these pictures to remind us that Jesus is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Are you ready for Jesus' return? All judgment has been handed over to him, that all honor might be given to him, even as honor is given to the Father. So if we honor God the Father, we honor Jesus in the same way. And we see in the next picture, a picture of the Ancient of Days on his throne and the Son of Man approaching him. We see that God the Eternal Father and God the Eternal Son are on the throne, and they'll judge the world. We're reminded last week how the books were opened. All of our motives and thoughts and words that we've ever spoken are laid bare before the eyes of him who to whom we must be given account. But we noted also from the book of Revelation that there's a book called the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. And whoever's name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life would not be cast into eternal hell, but would have life because of what the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, has accomplished as the Lamb of God who died and shed his blood purchased for a people from every tongue and tribe and nation who will ever put their trust in him as Lord and Savior, eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Now we want to look at Daniel chapter 7, verses 19 to the end of the chapter, and note a little bit more of the details of the fourth beast and the ten horns and the other imposing horn. So let's just note this beast is speaking great boastful words. Verse 8, the eyes had eyes of a human being and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Verse 11, I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. Verse 20, I also wanted to know about the ten horns and about the other horn that came up before which three of them fell, the horn that looked more imposing than all the others, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Verse 25, he will speak against the Most High. So we see a picture here of the climactic, ultimate fulfillment of the fourth beast in the end times, a picture of the Antichrist. The climactic Antichrist. Now, John, in his first letter, says, you've heard that the Antichrist shall come. But indeed, now there are many Antichrists, by which we know it's the last hour, the last time. So there is a climactic worldwide Antichrist coming in the end times, but there have been many such Antichrists throughout history. And we always have to be ready. You might not be here, and I might not be here when that climactic Antichrist comes. We might be. But the ultimate question is, when the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of deception comes, whether it be if you were living back in World War II where Mussolini in Italy was a fascist dictator who was ruling and controlling it all, or Hitler in Germany, or Idi Amin in Uganda, or the Pol Pot in Cambodia in the 1970s. There's been many such people trying to dominate the world and control the system. Do we have enough discernment to take our stand against the spirit of the Antichrist? Now, to compare Daniel 7 to more detail, we need to look at the book of Revelation. Time and time again, we need to turn back and forth to the book of Revelation. So notice verse 21 of Daniel 7. As I watched, the horn was waging war against the holy people and defeating them until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the holy people of the Most High. So I want you to turn over to Revelation chapter 13. And we're going to look at Revelation chapter 13 and Revelation chapter 17 as we try to note a number of issues about this fourth beast. Revelation 13, page 1245 in the Pew Bible. The dragon, and the dragon is who? The dragon is Satan, okay? The dragon stood on the shore of the sea. I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on its horns. And that's why we see that this 10 horns of the fourth beast is yet future. Skip over to Revelation chapter 17, verse 12. The 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. So in 90 AD, when John is writing this on the island of Patmos, he's seeing this fourth beast with the 10 horns, but it's yet future in John's day. Okay, so it's not only future in Daniel's day or in the day of Rome, first century, but it's yet future in John's day. It's referring to a climactic time. So I'm not going to read all of chapter 13. I'll just point out a few things. The whole world, verse 3, was filled with wonder and followed the beast. Okay. Verse 5, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months. Okay, I believe that the 42 months, the 1260 days, the time and half a time, has a climactic reference of 3.5 literal years, the time of the great tribulation, a time of great oppression of God's people in the end times. But I also believe that this expression can also refer to the whole time span of the persecution of God's people through the ages. The reason I believe that is when you look at Revelation 12, for example, we read in verse 5, the child was snatched up to God and his throne. The woman fled into her wilderness to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. Some commentators say, well, that's the child snatched up to the throne is the church. The church is raptured, and then this takes place. But that's not what the text says in Revelation 12. The child was snatched up to his throne. It's referring to the ascension of Christ. The woman and her seed are those who obey God's commands and hold fast to the testimony of Jesus. So this is referring in Revelation 12 to the whole span after Christ's ascension. Okay? So in the words of George Eldon Ladd, for example, whom I highly respect, he writes this about the 42 months. It's a symbolic number for the entire period of the persecution of the church, but particularly the end of the period, the time of the great tribulation. So I believe it's referring to both as you look at some of these contexts. Yes, in Daniel chapter 12, how long will it be before the fulfillment of these wonders? 1260 days, yeah, a very future end time. But Daniel, you're a part of this whole widespread time. 5th century, 4th century, 3rd century BC, and so on. Right through the 2,000 years we've been going through. There's always persecution of God's holy people. There's tribulation. In this world you shall have tribulation, Jesus said. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the earth. And the main issue as we look at Daniel 7 is that God's holy people win with Christ. Notice verse 27, going back to Daniel. Keep your finger in Revelation 13 and 17 for a moment. But here's the ultimate end of the issue. Verse 27 of Daniel 7. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom, in other words, the Most High's kingdom, will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. Notice that phrase in Daniel 7, the holy people of the Most High. It's repeated 5 times. Are you part of the holy people of the Most High? That's the main issue. But notice something interesting as you look at this expression in Daniel 7. Verse 18, first of all, certain victory, the holy people of the Most High. But the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever, yes, forever and ever. Then, the second issue, verse 21, certain conflict, certain opposition. Verse 21, as I watched, this horn was waging war against the holy people of the Most High and defeating them. okay? Verse 22, certain victory again, okay? Go from certain victory, certain opposition, back to certain victory, verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the holy people of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. Fear not, little flock, Jesus said. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Certain opposition again, verse 25. He, the Antichrist, will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change the set times and the laws. The holy people will be delivered into his hands for a time and half a time. Certain opposition. We read in Revelation 13:9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity, to captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword, they will be killed. Doesn't sound like very good news to me. But here's the ultimate verse, verse 27. We've just read it. Certain victory. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. Okay? So there's a climactic, there's tribulation through the ages, there's climactic tribulation, but God's people and Jesus are going to win. We read in Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, they, the powers of darkness, the powers of the Antichrist, will war against the Lamb. They'll wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and certain followers. There's war, there's opposition. We're in a spiritual warfare, but the Lamb overcomes all enemies. And those who are with him are his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Yes, the seventh trumpet will sound one day, and the voices in heaven will cry out, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. And with him, with the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Notice a little more detail, though, as far as the climactic times. Revelation 13. There's a beast, the first beast, a political system, a worldwide political system. And there's a second beast, a worldwide religious system, which throws in its lot with the worldwide political system. Verse 12, Revelation 13, it exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. Because of the signs it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast, it deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. Does that remind you of anything? Reminds me of what? Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had to bow to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had put up, but they refused. But God protected them, and it was revealed that this God who protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was powerful, more powerful than Nebuchadnezzar or any powers of Babylon. But notice in the end times, verse 16, it also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. The number of is 666. So, whoever that is, he's coming, and in this move toward a cashless society, you see how this could easily happen at any time where, hey, we're not using cash anymore, a great dictator, an antichrist being controlling the world says, okay, you gotta have a mark. If you want to eat, you got to have a mark on your forehead or on your right hand, and you go through the grocery store, and you're able to you buy or sell everything, not just at the grocery store, gas, everything in life, food, water, you name it, you have to have the mark of the beast. Well, do you have insight? We read in Scripture, this calls for a mind with wisdom. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. This calls for faithfulness on the part of God's followers, no matter what age we are in, to be faithful, true, to be wise to the times and what could happen and what will happen in the end times. I was reading an article from the Toronto Star on November 9th, just before Remembrance Day. The headlines were Mussolini attacked from the air with pamphlets. If I was trying to sort this out, and I was living in 1940 or 42, 43, I would have thought for sure Mussolini was the Antichrist. It fits in so perfectly. Many people did. But he was attacked. Did you know that he was attacked? An airplane came over Rome, and did they rain bombs? They rained tens of thousands of pamphlets warning the people of this fascism, a one-party system of government where the individual is subordinated to the state and control is maintained by military force, secret police, rigid censorship, and government regimentation of industry and everything. And so these pamphlets said, do not attend any fascist celebration. Do no action and speak no word in praise of this regime. Boycott it all. Circulate these leaves. Accept nothing of fascism. And so what they were saying is, wake up. Note what's going on. Take a stand against this dictator. And so in the same way, I thought of our role in society. How are we going to defeat these powers of evil? With the Gospel of John going out last Thursday, the good news of Christ being shared by God's people to give people an insight into what the Bible says and truth and speaking truth and pointing people to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, sometimes we might feel like Martin Luther. He preached for years and decades, the just shall live by faith. And he was so frustrated that people didn't get it. He cried out every Sunday in his sermons, the just shall live by faith, not by works, not by giving money to the popes. It's by faith in Jesus Christ, by faith in Christ alone. And what did people do? They didn't get it. And he wanted to take his Bible and start hitting people over the heads. I want to hit people over the heads, he said. But is that going to do anything? No. But it's speaking the truth in love and in the power of the Holy Spirit sharing the gospel. I was with a fellow at Toronto South Detention Center. We were doing a Bible study last Tuesday morning. And some of the guys were really getting into it. But as we began talking about Jesus as the way and the Bible as truth, one guy suddenly got up and he said, this is all a bunch of blankety-blank garbage. What the world needs is all of the religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, including this stuff about Jesus and the Bible, to put it away and have a one-world system where there's one government in control and one guy in control, and he stormed out. And I thought, wow, is that not the spirit of the Antichrist right before our eyes? He was just summing up what's being told is going to happen. But maybe lots of people believe that that's the answer. Religion is the opiate of the people, including Christianity. Throw it all away and have one system where we all agree. But that's the spirit of the Antichrist, and we need to be warned. We need to be wise. We need to instruct many, and we're going to shine like the brightness of the heavens. Those who lead many to righteousness, we're going to shine like the stars forever. Those who are wise will understand, we read in Daniel chapter 12. None of the wicked are going to understand, but we trust you've heard the word of God. You're wise. You know what's coming and what has come, and you throw in your lot with Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, you take your stand against him no matter what opposition, because you're going to win with Christ in the today and for all of eternity. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word tells us that your people win. We face opposition, we face tribulation, but we thank you that we are more than conquerors through Christ. If there be any here who have not given their loyalty to Christ, may this be a day of salvation where we cry out, Lord Jesus, I've been on the side of deception. I've been deceived. But I bow before your truth and I receive Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. The one who died for me and rose again. And I yield to him with all my heart, body, and soul. Lord, for all of us, help us to be discerning, to be wise, to speak the truth in love, and to warn people of the reality of Satan and the methods that Satan uses to deceive and conquer people through his miracles and deception. So Lord, help us not to be deceived, but to be fully aware, fully wise, and fully victorious along with King Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.